I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. We thank God for his word. It's often been said that preachers must first preach to themselves before they start preaching to others. And I feel very conscious of this when coming to this passage of scripture. How can I talk to you about abiding or remaining in Christ if I don't do it myself? And so if I say we must, quite frequently in this sermon, bear in mind that we in the first instance primarily means me, and only after that you. And so John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 1, if you've got a Bible with you or on your mobile, please keep it open there. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Notice not just I am the vine, but I am the true vine. The word that John uses means genuine, authentic. Why does he say that? He's talking to the disciples in the upper room, the night before his crucifixion. They were all Jews. They knew their Old Testament, at least sketchily. They knew that both Jesus and the Old Testament used picture language or metaphors frequently. Jesus is picking up a metaphor in the Old Testament about Israel, the people of God. God described his chosen people Israel in the Old Testament, in some places, as a tree. In other places, as a vineyard, and in others, as a vine. Look, for example, I think it's coming up on the screen, at this verse in the book of Jeremiah. I have planted you, says God, I have planted you like a choice vine of sound and reliable stock. How then did you turn against me into a corrupt wild vine? But now here is Jesus saying that a new vine, the true vine, has arrived to replace the previous unsatisfactory one. God the Father is still the owner and the gardener, again verse 1 of our passage, but the vine is no longer just the people of God. I am the true vine, said Jesus. And you, that is we, if we are believers in Jesus, are the branches, verse 5. And so the New Testament people of God, the church of God, is not just us, the people, but Jesus being the main stem, and we being branches off the main stem. So look what the gardener, God the Father, does to the true vine in verse 2. He cuts off every branch in the true vine that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, there's a play of words in the original language there. Cut off is iro. Prune is kathairo. So two similar actions with the same tool, a pruning knife, but for different purposes. The non-fruiting branches are removed from the vine. Jesus says in verse 6, they are thrown onto the bonfire, but the fruiting branches are pruned. If you want a play of words in English, that is cut back rather than cut away, so they can be even more fruitful than they were before. There's another play of words in verse 3. Jesus suddenly says to his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Now, why does he say that all of a sudden? The word for clean in the Greek is very like the word for prune. So Jesus is saying, "I've already cleaned you up," which is parallel to the pruning process on the vine. Remember, they are at the Last Supper. Jesus, just shortly before this, has washed his disciples' feet. When Simon Peter protested at Jesus doing this for him, Jesus talked to them about the spiritual cleaning that he'd been doing for them throughout his ministry. This is in chapter 13 of John's Gospel. Jesus there said to them, "A person who has a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." The one who had been washed but was not spiritually clean was, of course, Judas, the betrayer. And so Judas has become an obvious example of a branch that bears no fruit, a branch that is cut off rather than pruned. An apparent part of the true vine that, as it were, comes away in the gardener's hands because it's not properly attached to the main stem, Jesus. How do we avoid being cut off and thrown away from the true vine? We say we're Christians, followers of Jesus. Are we properly attached to him? Jesus repeatedly uses a phrase here, "remain in me." It's in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10 of that chapter. The word is the ordinary word for remain, but perhaps the King James Bible word abide gives a bit more of the sense. It doesn't just imply hanging on or hanging in. I want to refer you to another New Testament picture of the church, which is in Romans chapter 11. Paul describes the church there as an olive tree, not a vine this time, an olive tree. He says the Gentiles, that is non-Jews, that is almost all of us here today, have been grafted into this tree like a wild olive branch into a cultivated olive tree. And then he says that these grafted branches now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root. This is the sense of remain in me that Jesus wants for us, to share the nourishment that flows through the true vine, Jesus. Be intimately connected, and so his goodness flows into us. Many years ago, I worked at a at a fruit tree research institute. I find it quite amazing that 2,000 years ago, they knew a thing or two, not only about pruning vines, but about grafting olives. Now, if you have an apple tree in your garden, it is, of course, a graft. The fruit-bearing part of the tree is grafted onto the rootstock. You can now buy apple trees that have three different varieties of apple on different branches because the different branches are grafted on. They are attached so organically, so firmly, that they all bear fruit. And so it should be with us and our Lord Jesus. How do we remain in this locked-in relationship more than hangers-on or hangers-in? Jesus tells us how. First, he says, listen to my words, verse 7. He wants his words to remain in us, not just with us, but in us. And so absorb the words of Jesus. Let us dwell on his words. Because Jesus had an amazing understanding of the Old Testament and frequently quoted it, Old Testament words are Jesus' words too. Don't just listen to sermons on Sunday. Read his words for yourself in your own Bible. Secondly, obey Jesus' commands, verse 10. Don't just learn what he says, do what he says. Jesus criticized those who were hearers but not doers. Now, there are some of his commands we might find quite easy, but others rather difficult. For example, in John 15 and verse 12, the verse after where we finished reading, Jesus, he says this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. What? All of us? Love every one of us? Look round, look round in your mind's eye. If you're like me, you look round and you say, love one another. Tick, 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 question mark. Oh, really him? Oh, yes, it's not easy sometimes, is it? But resolve to be a follower of Jesus, not just in name, but in practice. Third way of remaining in him, make it a love relationship. Jesus says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. There's that word remain again. Remain in my love. Now this is not sexual love. It's not even brotherly or sisterly love. This is agape love, the self-giving love that the Father has for the Son and Jesus the Son has for us. That love should flow both ways. We sing about it quite a lot. I love you, Jesus. I lift up your name, etc. Let's mean it when we say it. Give back to Jesus in gratitude and humility, our love to him. Fourthly, help is at hand, or even closer than that. I hope you listened to Jeremy Law's sermon 2 weeks ago, either here or online, on I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. He said that when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. The word for room meant a permanent dwelling place. Now, that same word for room is used only once more in the Bible. And it's used between that I am the way, the truth, and the life saying, and this, I am the true vine. It's in John 14 and verse 23. Jesus says this, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. The same rare word used for room is here translated home. The permanent dwelling place of God will be in all of us who love him. We will come, says Jesus. The Father will come. The Son will come. And actually, Jesus is talking here about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come as well. The whole Trinity will come permanently to dwell in you and me. So, while Jesus asks us to remain in him, they remain in us. He says that explicitly in verse 4 of our reading, remain in me and I will remain in you. It's astonishing. Dwelling on Jesus' words becomes easier as the Spirit helps our memories. Obeying Jesus' commands becomes easier as the Spirit helps our wills. And how can we not love and cherish the one who died for us and rose for us when his Spirit prompts us from within? So those four ways are helping us to remain in the vine. We need to nurture those and practice them. But what are the results if we do remain or abide in Jesus, the vine? Briefly, because there are five here. Firstly, we are pruned. In verse 2, we are pruned. The twigs that get cut away are not necessarily bad twigs. But sometimes God will remove from our lives perfectly okay things in order to benefit the whole branch, the whole you. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews describes it this way, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This is, of course, a different picture of the Christian life. It's the picture of a race. Throw off not only sins, but everything that hinders. That's the equivalent of pruning the vine. So if something goes from your life, which you like, perhaps a person or an activity, don't think it's a punishment or a trial to test you. Maybe it's a pruning to make you bear more fruit, which is the next point. The second result of pruning is we bear fruit. The result of remaining him is to bear fruit, and the result of pruning is to bear even more fruit. What did he mean by fruit? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus famously, he said, by their fruit shall ye know them. By which he meant people's behavior, or more generally, what they were like as people, rather than by what they said. So some people, said Jesus, produce good fruit, and other people bad fruit. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae to say that he was praying they would bear fruit in every good work. And he wrote to the Galatians to say that the fruit of the Spirit, this is a well-known passage, of course, the fruit of the Spirit is, and a whole list of things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So that amazing list is more about attributes that lead to good works rather than the good works themselves. And so I believe the fruit from remaining in Christ is both good traits of character and the deeds that spring from them. Now, some of those attributes, like peace, for example, are largely about my relationship with God. The others, like kindness, is more about me and others. And some, like the self-control, the last one, is about me in relationship to me. But they are all the fruit of the Spirit. Please note, it is the fruit of the Spirit is, not the fruits of the Spirit are. The verb is a singular one. Unlike the gifts of the Spirit, different ones of which are distributed by the Holy Spirit as he determines, all aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are to be nurtured in all believers. It's no good me saying to you, I've got the joy, can you provide the patience, please? I must move on. Third result of remaining in our Lord Jesus, prayers are answered. Prayers are answered. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Now, this is not a magic wand. It envisages that we so remain in Jesus and his words remain in us that we know the will of Jesus and that our prayers coincide with his desires. I must confess, I find this a depth of spirituality that I am nowhere near reaching. I'm merely paddling in the shallows. Yes, I pray. I pray for good things to happen. And yes, prayers are answered. But do I think that I know the mind of Christ in everything? Dare I even say, not yet? But this is a promise to all of us who wish to be so joined to him, so intimately involved in his affairs, that our prayers echo all that he wants. So join us, Lord Jesus, more closely to you, that your will, not ours, be done. Fourth result of remaining in him, our discipleship is noticed. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to me, to be my disciples. Who is doing the noticing here? Is it other Christians who notice what you do and thank God, and perhaps you, for who you are and what you do? Is it the big world outside the Christian church? Jesus said elsewhere, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That is quite a high bar to leap over. People sometimes notice and think what a good person you are. But how often do they notice and praise God the Father as a result? Nevertheless, perhaps no one on earth notices the good deeds you do or the fruit of the Spirit in your character. Still, the triune God notices and is glorified. Some very nice fruit dropped to the ground in Kent in 2021. Literal physical fruit, unpicked. I've walked in the orchards and seen it lying on the ground because there was no one there to pick it. Perhaps pecked at by the birds, nibbled at by the squirrels. No matter. God sees our fruit. God understands. The Father is glorified. And fifth and lastly, as an outcome. Verse 11, complete joy. I have told you this, says Jesus, and by this I think he means all that has gone before about the true vine, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Phew, what to say about this? Yes, I have the joy of Jesus within, as I hope you do. It is indeed one characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, I rejoice a lot in the goodness of God. Yes, it's a joy and privilege to worship our Lord together and to serve him in his church. But complete joy? Complete joy? What about my unfulfilled wishes that would bring me some more joy? I've been waiting 42 years for West Ham to win the FA Cup. I've been waiting 44 years for Kent to win the county championship at cricket. But more seriously, some family joys have as yet not come to fruition. More than once when we had young kids in the back of the car, as we went on holiday, we were asked, and you've been asked this if you've had the same thing, are we there yet? And my reply then, and I think my reply to this even now, is no, not yet, but we're getting close. We're getting close. Jude, in his little letter, gives praise to the Lord Jesus, who is able to present us to the glorious presence of God, quote, without fault and with great joy. Without fault, that's amazing, and with great joy. Joy in the heavens, joy among the angels, and joy of the person who is being presented, I think, and that sounds pretty good to me. So Jesus speaks to us as well as to his first disciples. He says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that Jesus is the true vine, the authentic vine. We thank you that we can be organically attached to him and dwell in him as he dwells in us. If I'm not attached at all, please graft me in. I want to be attached and well connected to the only true source of eternal life. Help us, Lord, to know well the words of Jesus and his will for us. Help us not only to know them, but to obey his commands, to receive his love, and to give back to him all the love of our hearts. By the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, may we bear fruit for you, fruit of character that spills out in good actions. May we know what is in your heart so well that our prayers coincide with your perfect will. Give us joy, Lord, in serving you until our Lord Jesus presents us into your presence without fault, because he has died for us. Amen.